Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Church. I am the curate here, and my name is John Waits, and this morning we have the Holy Communion according to the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. And the collect for our new sovereign. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our king and governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Come to the collect. The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Let us pray.
Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we have the readings.
The reading is taken from Luke 10, verses 30 to 33 and 36 to 37. In reply, Jesus said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, The one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, Go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. and I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we have the sermon.
Good morning. This is the first time I've preached a sermon. It's the first time I've preached in quite a long while, but it's certainly the first time that I've preached when I've just redone the Holy Communion service. And you'll see that I've done it like I used to do during the COVID lockdown, so that we can, as it were, join together and take communion, you in your home or wherever you are, and with me in the church. So it's a spiritual taking of the bread and the wine, and I actually think it's quite important. And I'd be interested to know what people think. So if you can get in touch, because I have no idea who watches the sermons or the services, I'd be very interested to know if you would like me to go back to the old way and not have that, as it were, semi-physical presentation of the actual sacrament. So today, I'm following up on the theme of a couple of weeks ago, which is, who is my neighbour? It's a very important part of our mission action plan, and it's one of the things that we want our new rector to help us with. How do we establish contact with our neighbours, reach out into the community? But of course, that means starting here with ourselves. So it's following on from that, and we've just had the reading, the second time you've had it in recent weeks, of the story of the Good Samaritan, and above all, those last words in it, "Go and do thee likewise." All sermons and readings should actually lead to action. So that then is the setting for the sermon, and what I want to do is to pontificate. Now, we probably don't want people to pontificate, but actually the reason I'm doing that is because pontiff, the word comes from pontifex, the maker of bridges, the Latin pons and facio. So it's a good word to bridge, build bridges, the bridge builder. And the Pope is called the great high pontiff, and Jesus himself is referred to in the New Testament as the great high priest. And in the Latin, that's translated by a pontiff. So I want to talk about building bridges in the context of who is my neighbour. See, we had the sermon, and Kevin, the wonderful priest who came over to help us from Carshalton Beaches, preached a good sermon on it. I'm not sure he actually got to the last bit about who is my neighbour, and go and do likewise. So the first thing then is to think of ourselves. How do we go and do likewise? So, as so often in my sermons, I regret to say, I use the church as a visual image, as the body of Christ. We have the chancel, where I always think we find God, the head, the Godhead, find ourselves closest in prayer in the chancel, perhaps. Then we have the transepts, with Jesus reaching out into the communities. And then we have the nave, where we find communion amongst ourselves. So it's all going to build towards the parish profile of growing our church in the nave and being more visible in the local community, the idea of the transepts. So let me just start then with the great Sir Edward Banks. I can't say he's the first thing that people always see when they come into the church, because they come in and probably don't see it till they turn around to go out. But there it is, dominating the entrance by the font. Sir Edward Banks, the great builder. London Bridge, Southwark Bridge, Waterloo, many other things. Amazingly, he was actually a founder of the P&O Shipping Company. And he fell in love with Chipsea when he was building the railway down through Coulson down to Brighton. And I always like it that the earliest railway bridge is found behind Starbucks. If you look very carefully, just south of Starbucks, you'll see, hardly see, but it's there, a small little bridge. Obviously, it's the ground has welled up below, but there is the first railway bridge. The old Merstham quarries brought their brick, their stones up to London via Coulston. So let me then start off in the nave and it's in the nave that we meet our neighbours. It's here we become family. And I think that's such an important part of our life together. We often say, oh, we are the family of Christ here in St. Margaret's. And I really want to try to build on that. So we genuinely do have a family feel. One of the words in the New Testament is koinonia, which means partnership, fellowship. And that's a very biblical concept, that we build up our fellowship together. And how do people build family life together? Well, I know what you are in your family, but very often we sit down, ask questions about what's going on, tell the stories of what's been going on in our lives. And that's something I'd like to see become part of our life together in Chipstead. When I was worshipping in Paris, we often have very interesting people coming through, popping into St. Michael's Church, maybe only with us for a few weeks or a few months, but with interesting stories. And so we would start off our service, and I'm going back to the 1970s, we would start off our service taking the microphone round to people and saying, you're new here, tell us, what's your story? What brings you to church? What's interesting? What are you looking for here in church and your relationship with Christ? And we had interesting stories. And there are people in Chipstead who've got interesting stories who come to us. So often we just don't know who the people are next door to us. And so that family growth is something that's important. One of the things I love about St. Margaret's is seeing youngsters grow. I remember Emily Holmes, the Holmes family, we've seen them grow in the church from very small children up to now adults. And I was very surprised to turn on the radio and hear the interviewer say, and now I'm going to go to Professor Emily Holmes. My goodness, little Emily is now a professor. And just wonderful things. And she's just one of many people achieving great things. And I just love to know all those stories. So that's one of the things that we have. And we say, oh, we have a common worship, the Book of Common Prayer. We have communion. All of these things are saying they're things that we do in common with each other that helps to build up our family life. One of the things that I have in the back of my mind is whether we should have two services or one. I know that there's an ambition to have one service. I think we're strongest, have two services, I beg your pardon, have two services. And I think we're strongest when we are all united together. It's difficult. And I would love to figure out a way of building bridges between the old two services so that we can have just one strong united services where we can all enjoy worshipping together. Another way of building up our life together is our life groups. They are the real roots of the church. They are how we provide succour to people at home and wherever they are, and fellowship, meals together, working together. The life groups are the binding together of the church. So if you're not a member of one, do please see if you can find one that will be perhaps near you or whatever, but join a life group. Another thing that brings us together is our children's work. You know, any family, the children are obviously of enormous importance. And people say, oh, they are, of course, the future of the church. Nonsense! They are the church. And how do we build bridges between the church building and the orchard? How do they feel that they are part of one family? Sometimes we don't see them. And there was wonderful things going on, like a messy church, like Maggie's Song. I was amazed to go to Maggie's Song a couple of weeks ago and see just how many youngsters there are. Many of them don't come to the church at all, but they are reaching out into the community and building a bridge with the community. So what can we do together? Think who are our neighbours here in the nave. What actions can we take together to build up our family life? Go and do likewise. So now we come to the transepts. This is Christ reaching out into the community, his arms outstretched. And we know who our neighbours are. They are Hooley, Mugswell, Nethern on the Hill. Do we really include them in our life together as a church? How do we build stronger bridges out into the community? We're doing things with Hooley. going to be opening up a Cameo Connect, which we used to have Cameo come and meet each other. That happened in Hule. And we're hoping to rebuild the bridge there, Connect, and provide a service for people to just come together in Hule. Up in Netherlands, there's the Stay and Play. And we're hoping, obviously, to build relationships with Netherlands. It's early days. What must be only a mere decade, perhaps. But we need to see what we can do in Netherland. And then Mugswell, that extraordinary hamlet, which if you found it in deepest Devon or Cornwall, you would feel at home there. But what are we doing there? Well, Andrew Britton does go there 4 or 5 times a year. He's built up a good congregation there, small, but it's a small place, and has much, much welcomed services there. So that's something that we really need to build on and incorporate the communities of Hule, Netherland on the Hill and Mugswell and build bridges into those communities. Then there is the chancel. I always think that's the bridge between earth and heaven. I loved going there. I feel that all the past, and I'm going to talk about the past as well as the future in a few minutes' time, that phrase in St. Paul's, compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Think of all the people who've been through the chancel, prayed there, knelt there, received communion. Sometimes I think we don't have to have great prayers in the chancel. We are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses who've prayed there for so long and their silent prayers will accompany us. This week, I hope, to have an exciting new discovery in the chancel. There are these great steps, slabs, they're called incised slabs, which are the tombs of different people which you've had covered up for many, many centuries. And I hope that we can uncover them, because now, with the advent of flat heels rather than spiked heels, stilettos, we're not going to do so much damage to the floor as might have been done in previous centuries. And one of those tombs there, in Sister Slavs, is to the daughter of the great Richard Hooker, the Elizabethan divine. And I just won't mention him every Sunday, but I just love the idea that he was there, because Richard Hooker was known as the judicious Hooker. He was a man that tried to build bridges between both parts of the church, the Puritan and the more Catholic Reformed Church. And he five great volumes, The Laws of Ecclesiastical Polity, that took all the arguments for both sides and just looked at them and said, well, these are the areas on which we can come together. So he was the great bridge builder between the two wings of the Anglican faith. And that's why I'm so keen that when we have communion, that I say both parts of the communion sentence. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee. Preserve thy soul unto everlasting life. That receive the body, that is the old Catholic tradition. The Catholics still believe that the priest re-sacrifices each time he does it. That is not the Anglican tradition. We do it in remembrance. Eat and drink this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. So those are the two parts of the Elizabethan settlement, as it were. Queen Elizabeth herself was very wise. She said she didn't want to open windows into people's souls and burn those who she didn't approve of. She said, no, Christ was the word that spake it. He took the bread and brake it. And what his words did make it, that I believe and take it. No great theological questions, just accept it and take it. So Richard Hooker there, but being the great bridge between the wings of the Anglican Church. Now also, compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses from the past, and we're there as a bridge also to the future. We are transient, as we know. We hold things in trust here in St. Margaret's, with the way we do things improve, I hope, like the orchard and the other vestry. So how do we hand it on? And why do we hand it on? Why do we bother? I am very fond of a poem that we found in my father's wallet when he died. Father, some of you may know, was a bridge builder. He built part of the bridge at Normandy, the part of the Arromanche Bridge, the Mulberry Harbour. He built the pontoons that went under the roadway. So he was a bridge builder, and in his pocket he had a poem, which I will now read. The old man going the lone highway came at evening, old and grey, to a chasm, vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned, when safe on the other side, and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with your building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You cross the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old grey head. Good friend, in the path I've come, he said, there followeth after my day the youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. And so, finally, let us be aware of our obligation to build bridges for the future. Build bridges in our own congregation, build bridges out into the community around us, and build bridges in prayer to God and also to those who come after us. In the name of Christ, Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso has this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, with which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and especially thy servant Charles, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council and to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment and wickedness of vice and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we must humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We just take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow thy good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the glory and honour of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that turn unto him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Many of us are still taking communion at home. That's a spiritual form of taking communion, as opposed to the actual physical form here. There's a nice prayer done by Great St. Mary's Church in Cambridge, of spiritual communion. Beautiful way to remember that Christ is here and he is with us at this Eucharist, whether in church or at your home. It's a prayer inspired by a prayer of St. Richard of Winchester. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. You might like to pause now and take some bread and some wine for later on. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We're not worthy so much as to gather the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, whom the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he gave them thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith and thanksgiving. The body and blood of Christ. Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Prayer after communion. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love. Be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.